Open your Bibles with me today.
I'll get there.
I'll get there in just a second. We're going to open up to Daniel chapter 6. In a few moments, I'm going to read the entire chapter of chapter 6. Very familiar story. Today, I'm going to be talking for a few moments about staying true to God when your society is full of evil. Yesterday, I was painfully aware of the episodes of hate and denigration that was taking place within our own country. I don't do this kind of thing often. Let me make one thing clear. There is no place for prejudice inside the church or inside God's kingdom. There is no place for self-righteousness inside the church or in God's kingdom. And when men and women rise up and begin to hate each other and begin to fight each other, and to begin to hurt and even kill each other because of the color of their skin, neither side can claim, when they're fighting over the color of their skin, neither can claim that they are walking under the guise of Christianity.
Right.
True Christians love one another. True Christians stand true to God even though society is falling apart. As I said yesterday, and I heard the stories coming out of Charlottesville, Virginia. I got angry. I got almost sick at the kind of hatred that we've come to. I got news for you. I don't believe in hatred. And as I began to think about what was happening in our nation, and I began to look, and I see Charlottesville, and I see Ferguson, and I see Baltimore, and I see Detroit, and I see all the way back to Los Angeles, and I see all these things, and I hear on the news that an organization has given a travel warning to people about coming to our own state of Missouri, saying that racially we are not a safe place to be. It makes me mad. It makes me angry. Because the root is sin. The root is selfish, self-righteous, egotistical, pious thinking. That makes some think their race is better than any other race, make others think that they're because they're a man, they're stronger and they're better than women, or because they're a woman, they're better than men. Outside of that, you're dealing with demonic pressures. I don't get into this thing. But I'm going to tell you something. When we start having prejudice, we are getting into sin.
Yeah.
I look at our society who is tearing itself apart. We no longer understand what it means to lock arms, a brother with a brother and a sister with a sister, and say, we stand together because we stand apart. I'm going to be honest with you. We get that same mentality when we start thinking that our church is better than that church.
Come on now. Come on.
or that our faith is better than that faith. Now, I'm going to tell you, not every faith is going to lead you to God. But if a church teaches and believes that Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father, crucified, buried, and rose again for my salvation, praise God, I'm with them 100%. But when I began to think, I could have come and I could have just preached about prejudice. But I'm going to be honest with you. I may be naive and I may be dumb, but I don't see prejudice in our church. I love the fact that we are an integrated church. I love the fact that we have a picture of our community in our church. I love that. That's one of the things that made me want to come here to be your pastor. Because when I got here, I looked around, I saw young, old. I saw different races. I saw men. You would be amazed at how few churches have this many men that come to church.
Amen.
We got a lot of men that come to church. A few boys. Few kids, Mike, wherever he's at. I love the fact that when we look out at our church, we see. We don't see everybody doesn't look the same. And so for me to get up here and preach about prejudice tonight would be preaching to the choir. I could get a lot of amens. I can get a lot of, woo, that's, woo, yeah, he's good. Because that's what we feel. For the most part. Now, I don't know all your secret sins. And we'll call it a sin because if it's a secret, it's prejudice, it's a sin.
Amen.
Well, come on.
But for the most part, outwardly, we're pretty open around here. But here's what I began to think about. It's not how do we face it. It's how do we stand strong in the midst of a society that is... Excuse me, I just got to say it this way. Mama ain't here. In the midst of a society that's going to hell in a handbasket. It feels like that our nation, I'm not talking about the world now. I'm not even getting there. I'm talking about our nation. We are bound and determined and we've set our mind that we want to become as evil as we can be. The things that we fight about, the things that we argue about are not even biblical. Why are we fighting about transgender restrooms? Because we've allowed the enemy to so infiltrate us that we've lost sight of the truth. Yeah. And so as I sat there yesterday hearing the news, I began to think about how can we look at an example of standing truth when our society is full of evil. And I believe God led me to this passage in the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Tonight I'm going to read the entire chapter beginning in verse number 1. It says this, reading from the New King James Version. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 sages, to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give an account to them so the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So the governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom and administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the written was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his window open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. "Have you not signed the decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard to you, O king, for the decree that you have signed, but makes petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he had heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that this is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." So the king gave the command that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went into his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was extremely glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all of their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace is multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. The kingdom is of one who, his kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you right now. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you that you are the God that delivers me. Lord, you are the true and living direction of which I need to follow. And Lord, I don't have to follow men. I don't have to follow men's ideas. I don't have to follow men's thoughts. But I am free to be bound to you and to your word and to your power. Lord, allow me to preach this message with the fire and the passion with which you gave it into my heart. I give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Very, very familiar story of Daniel. We've all heard of Daniel. Daniel was an honorable man. When Daniel was taken captive and brought into Babylon, he was quickly found to be important. The king set him aside with other young Jewish leaders because it was their custom to use some of their captives in leadership, therefore creating, as they would dominate a nation, creating a connection between their government and the people which they were overtaking. That way it wasn't all about the Babylonians, but rather they actually had some Jews in their leadership. Why? Because they wanted the confidence of those that they were overtaking. And what they would do is they would bring them in and they would teach them their history. They would teach them their way of doing things. And they would bring in young men. Why young men? Because they could teach them what they wanted them to know. Yeah. You see, it's amazing what you can teach a young man. You can't teach an old man. It's amazing things that Michael can learn that I can't learn. Because for me to learn some things, I have to unlearn other things. You want... You want to know why we're getting into the situation we're in right now in America? It's because somewhere a few years ago we decided to change our history. We began to take things out of our history. We began to add things to our history. We took God out of the public school. We began to quit talking about the fact that our nation was founded on God. We quit talking about certain things. We quit... Can I tell you something? Bad things have happened in our past. Because we didn't pay attention. Bad things that, and we need to be teaching our children that if you go down certain roads, you're destined for destruction. But instead, somewhere we've decided that we've got to shield them from that. And they don't need to know that. And all it sets up is an opportunity for them to go down the wrong road again. Daniel's brought in. And they're going to teach you. But Daniel and three of his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I would give their real names, but I always forget them. But they decided we're not going to be defiled, because one of the things they did is they gave you king's meat. King's meat was the best meat in the land because it was offered to a god, to a sacrifice, to an idol. But the king would take the meat that was sacrificed to the idols and he would eat it for himself, so it was the best meat in the land. But Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, for us to eat meat that was sacrificed to an idol would be unclean, and we're not going to do that. Give us vegetables and water. And I've got a sermon that I haven't preached here yet, I don't think, that I will preach one of these days when we have a cookout where I will take a grill and I will grill up a nice steak, and I'll grill, I do a grilled sweet potato with marshmallows and brown sugar and cinnamon, and I plate that meat up all nice. It's got the grill marks on it. You can smell it. And then I walk over and throw the whole thing in the trash. And everybody, ah! Yep, sure was. Because every day that Daniel was in training, they brought him a staff. And every day Daniel heard it. Now, see, sometimes we think that was a one-time deal. No, it was every day. I might be able to turn down a steak one day. Maybe two. Did you give me about 2 weeks into vegetables and water? And that one little bite of that steak hurt nothing. But every day Daniel said, throw it in the trash. And the Bible says, God bless it. He was sparing him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were fairer and fatter than all of us. You go through and you begin to read the story, and everything he does is blessed. Every king finds favor with him, or he finds favor with every king. We get to chapter 6, and Darius is the king. And he set up his government, and he says, I'm going to have these satraps, and I'm going to have three governors, of which Daniel is going to be one of them. But Daniel had such an excellent spirit about him. You know what that means? He did his job well.
Yes.
Your brother Chris was talking today. When you serve God, your boss becomes like God. Paul said to slaves, everything you do for your master, do for the Lord.
Yes.
I don't know if you realize this, but when you have an employment, your company has offered to pay you a certain amount of money to buy your time. And you become their slave while you're there. Some of you feel that more than others.
Yeah.
Be quiet, Pastor Brian. You talk about school. Some of you feel that more than others. But I'm going to tell you something. When we begin to truly live for God and have an excellent spirit, we do our jobs like we're doing for God.
That's right.
Yes.
Christians should be the most prized people on everybody's paper.
Yeah.
Every job you have, everybody should be like, oh, give me another Christian. You know what happens, unfortunately? Sometimes we don't work with excellence. Sometimes we work like we go to church. Well, I don't know why they did that. I want to tell you, some of you grumble as much at work as you grumble at church. No wonder you never can't get a job. Sorry, I went there. I tell you something. He had an excellent spirit. And the king was going to make him above everybody. And I got news for you. Sometimes it feels good to be honored. I got news. Most people don't like it when somebody else is on.
Well,
we, as Christians, have the love of God in our heart, and the devil can't stand that.
Right.
Yeah. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual darkness in heavenly places. And the devil is going to raise up those around us who cannot stand that we stand for something holy.
Right.
And they're going to begin to rise up against us. Those around Daniel begin to rise up against him. They begin to show their evil presence. You see how they did it? They didn't come at him and attack him. They went to the king. They watched him and they said, now we can't find any fault in what he does. He's too good at his job. Now let me tell you something. Some of you don't ever get here, because if you were not good at your job and you don't do things with excellence, they're going to get you there.
Yeah.
But I got news for you. When they can't get you there, they're going to find something else. And they said, we can only attack him through the laws of his God. So they went to the king, and they said, oh, king, you're something special. And we need to make a law that nobody can worship anybody, petition anybody, nobody can pray to anybody but you. Notice their wisdom. They didn't say nobody can't pray to anybody forever. They didn't say this is an endless thing. They said just 30 days. Now why'd they do that? Because the king might have caught on if they had said it was forever. But just 30 days. 30 days. We can do anything for 30 days. 30 days we can survive. 30 days is just a little bit. It's just a little bit. It's just giving in a little. Can I tell you, we live in a nation who has given in a little, and then given in a little, and then given in a little, and then given in a little. Oh, we don't need prayer in school, and it didn't take very many years until no prayer in school became legalized abortion. Didn't take long before no prayer in school and legalized abortion became, we're not really built as a nation on God. It wasn't long that began to be questioned, so all of a sudden now we want one nation under God taken out of the Pledge of Allegiance. So now there's a group of people that want in God we trust taking off our money. To now, when you stand up to pray in a public setting, you can pray, but don't say in Jesus' name. Oh, but you can pray, but we're going to have every other faith we can think of pray to their God. Because their gods are as good as our, as your God. And you see the downhill slide as we give one, and we give another, and we give another. The enemy is wrapping around our government and rising up against us. Why? Because they feel like that if they can take us down one little piece at a time, we'll quit. Oh, pastor, don't preach about homosexuality. We'll sue. You ain't going to get much out of me. And I've seen the account of the church. I'm not going to get much out of them either. I'm on the state council for the Church of God. There ain't much there. And last time I looked at a financial statement from the international office, it may look like a lot to us, but when you think how big the organization is, there ain't much there either. Let me tell you something. Somewhere we got to stand.
Yeah, that's right.
Somewhere we've got to come to a place, because people are rising up against us. Yeah. They're telling us, as pastors, what we can preach, what we can do, what can happen and what can't happen. I'm going to tell you, I've never had an officer come in and tell me what I can't preach. Okay, it's coming. I've never had somebody come up and tell me I have to allow my building to be used for something. It's coming. Why? Because we keep setting precedent. We keep giving. The government keeps that. I'm not preaching an anti-government sermon. I'm preaching an anti-Satan sermon.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you, the devil has gotten involved. Now, if we're going to back up and talk about our government, let me back up and talk about our government for just a second. Because we are governed by the people. We're governed by the people, for the people, by the people.
Yeah.
I think that's the word I'm looking for. You know what that means? That means you get to vote.
Yeah.
If you would start voting your faith instead of your pocketbook, you start voting your morals instead of what feels good.
Yeah.
You start voting for people that stand for what you stand for instead of voting for people that's going to give you a bigger check every month. Come on. I've been there. I got the food stamp checks. I know what they're like. And I tell you, once they get you on that system, they will let you off of it. I had food stamps when we was in Ohio. I went and got a part-time job trying to make things work. I get a letter in the mail. You've been getting $385 a month food stamps. We see that your income went up $100 a month. Your food stamps have been revoked. I went and talked to them. I said, do you see that I only gained $100 a month? But you took 385. Can we cut? I understand if you need to cut it. I'm trying to get off of it. And they said, no, the best thing you can do, go quit that job. You'll quit that job, we'll give you more money. What? Pretty soon, we get enough people that are getting money from, see, I'm going down this road, I probably shouldn't. We get enough people that are getting money from the government that we quit voting what we believe. We quit voting for people that stand for what we stand for, and we start voting for people that are going to increase our paycheck.
Try.
See, a democracy only works until people figure out that they can vote in people to pay them.
Yeah.
And then it will implode on itself.
Come on.
And I got news for you, folks. We're at that door.
Yes, we are.
Why? Because we've allowed the devil to come in.
Yes.
And more restraint. And more, the devil is rising up against the church.
Yes.
Society. Let's move out of government. Society is rising up against the church.
Yes.
We used to get up on Sunday morning and go to church. Then we got up on Sunday morning and we asked, where are we going to go to church? Because we bounced around from church to church. Then we got up on Sunday morning and said, are we going to go to church this morning? Because we went when it was comfortable. We went when it was easy. Now we get up on Sunday morning and we don't even think about church. We were talking at men's breakfast the other morning, how that in days gone by, there was a time where we didn't have 7,000 channels on our TV. And we didn't have Netflix that had a library of 3,000 TV shows that we could binge watch for days at a time. We didn't have cell phones that we could spend hours and hours and hours with our face stuck in a cell phone. Brother James Cossey preached for us a couple years ago here. A friend of mine. He posted on Facebook today. I loved it. Boy, I'm about to hit some of my younger people in this church. You're under the age of 30. You might want to tighten up your seatbelt. I'm about to hit you in the face. We may even go 35. Let's go 35. He said, listen. Me and my wife were thinking about having 3 or 4 couples over to the house in the next couple weeks so we could sit around and stare at our phones and while in each other's presence. Because people don't talk anymore.
Well,
you get them together. Go out to eat with people. Hey, I'm an old fogey. Yes, I am. Put your phone down and talk. Come on now. But society is sneaking in. We come into the house of God.
Come on.
And we can't make it through a service. I'm not talking about reading your Bible on the phone. I'm talking about we have the intention that we're going to go post something the pastor said. I'm not opposed to that. I do it when other people preach. But I know what happened. I go to post something. Oh, what was that? And pretty soon we've been distracted because we can't make it through a 30-minute sermon without checking Facebook. Come on now.
Come on.
I'm going to tell you something. I know we're on Facebook. Hello, Facebook. I'm preaching about you. I'm going to tell you something. We need to get to a place that we can get our focus back. Because society is rising up against us.
Yeah.
Our government is rising up against us. Our families are rising up against us.
Yeah.
Oh. Mama says to Daddy, it's been a busy week. Why don't we just sleep in today? Okay. Son says to Father, I got to start school this week. Can't we go to the lake today? Father says to kids, you and your mom going to church, I'm staying home. And pretty soon our families become divided and they even become a barrier to church. I remember the day in my short life, I'm still young, But I remember the day of my short life where you didn't think about missing church to go to the lake or go to the beach. And nowadays, if I can get people to be here one Sunday, I told Mom and Dad, they're living 6 hours away. I said, listen, if you guys would come up one Sunday a month, you'll be doing better than most of my church does. Come on now. Why? Because we have all these things that are rising up against us. That's what Daniel faced. They went to the king. They made a rule. But what do we do to stand against it? Daniel did not change who he was for the law of labor. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says when Daniel heard that it was a decree, when Daniel saw what was going on, he didn't throw a big fit. He did not march on Washington.
Well,
he did not start a riot and turn over a car.
Well,
he did not yell, scream, and cry, I'm being underappreciated. No. You know what he did? He went home. Went up into his upper room like he did every day.
Yeah.
He opened the window and he got down and he did what he always did. Did I tell you the problem, folks? Yeah, I wouldn't get back up. I can tell you the problem. You know why we can't, you know why we can't do what we've always done? Because we've never done it. If you're not praying now, you can't go pray later because you never did it in the first place. But Daniel had a habit. He had a commitment that from the early days, every day he would sit down 3 times a day and he would pray. And when the law changed, when the situation changed, when society said that was not acceptable, he said, I don't really care what you say or what you think, because every day I pray to my God, and I'm still going to pray. I'm not going to make a big deal of it. I'm not going to tell everybody, but I ain't going to hide it either. Now, let me tell you something. You know what's wrong with the modern church? We haven't been praying every day, so we don't know what to do when tribulation comes. We don't know how to react. You.
Come on, Pastor.
We walked in a church. And we act like that we're super holy. And we hear sermons about living a Christian lifestyle. And praying and reading our Bible. And we always act like that if it really got bad, we'd do it then. When planes hit the World Trade Center. It's a Tuesday morning, September the 11th. That was our prayer meeting day. Church, I may have been under. It was our prayer meeting day. We were at that church about like this church. We'd have 7 to 8, sometimes 4, and sometimes 10. They would come pray. But when the towers fell, we had 97 come pray. The second week, we had 70 come pray. Third week, we had 40. The fourth week, see, you're not going to pray in times of trouble. And you're not going to last if you didn't pray before times of trouble.
Try.
I've heard people tell me, well, if I wasn't missed the rapture, I'll live right after. You can't live right now. You ain't going to live right then. Oh, when I get older, I'll settle down and I'll live for God when I get older.
One.
If you can't do it then, you're not going to do it then.
Right.
Daniel didn't change. I want to we're not at the bottom yet. In case you were wondering, it's going to get worse.
Amen.
I'm not talking about after the rapture. I'm talking about in our lifetime. 48 years old. Man, I remember when going to the movies, makeup, and country music were all seen. Oh, I didn't wear makeup. My wife said, you wore makeup. But I remember the days when the biggest argument in the church was whether or not we should let women wear pants. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't agree with some of those stands that they have. But I'll tell you what scares the bejeebies out of me. Is that in 25 years, 20, or 30 years now of preaching the gospel, all stuff that we thought was wrong, that we now do on a regular basis. You know what scares me about that? What are we going to be doing in 30 more years? My dad, me and my dad had a conversation probably 15 years ago. And he made the statement. He said, Tommy, in your lifetime, something doesn't change, you're going to see social drinking accepted in the Church of God. And I said, oh, no. We're old school Pentecostal. That ain't happening. Can I tell you what? 15 years later, it's beginning to be a conversation. Yeah. It's become, let's call it what it is, it's become don't ask, don't tell.
Well,
we just don't make a big thing of it. I got news for you. You want to know my stance on alcohol? 80% of social drinkers get drunk.
Well, I'm Pastor.
There is no question in the Bible that being drunk is a sin. There's no question. I can understand that there's some question whether or not alcohol is a sin. There is no question that being drunk is a sin. And if 80% of people that drink get drunk, if somebody sees you drinking, they're going to assume you get drunk.
Right.
Guess what happens to your testimony? Number two, you want to know if social drinking is okay? Ask yourself this. How would you feel if instead of walking around with a bottle of water, I was walking around with a bottle of Budweiser, a can of Budweiser, while I preach? Most of you would be going, I ain't going to that church. Well, why is it different for me than it's different for you? See, we got a problem. Right. And things are sneaking in. And I'm going to tell you, 20 years from now, it's going to be worse.
Right.
How do we fix it? We start doing something so that when things get bad, we can keep doing what we've always done.
Come on.
You cannot start it when the trouble comes.
Right.
You have to start it now. We got to get on our knees. We got to get in the Bible. We got to forsake that together and together of the saints. We need to get involved in a ministry. Well, why is that important? Because if you ain't serving, you ain't living.
Come on.
We have got to get to a place that we start understanding that this world is going downhill. And the only way we can do anything is if we can take care of being what we've been. We've got to start now. Some of us, we pray. We read our Bible. We do everything we know to do. So you know what we do? We keep doing everything we've been doing. I preach. That's what I do. I'm a preacher. And I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to preach. I've been there when people told me, you don't preach well. We don't like your preacher. You don't preach Bible. I don't. I had people come to me in one church, Pastor, you don't preach the Bible, you tell too many stories. And can you imagine what they had said to Jesus? Say something. You know what I did? Kept doing what I always do. We've come through a season in my ministry, in my lifetime, where preachers We're not popular. It was about singers. It was about the activities. It was about this, that, the other. And the preacher, especially my kind of preacher, put that stuff on the shelf. Preacher, you need to tone that down if you're going to reach people. We'll keep preaching.
Yeah.
It may not be popular, it may not be the fad, but I'm going to preach. Now, I believe we're coming into a season. People are looking for preaching.
Yeah.
Praise God. Daniel kept doing. He did not change who he was. Some of you have to get to where you need to be so that you won't change who you are.
That's right.
If you can't do it in the light, you're not going to do it in the night.
That's
right. I said it a while ago. If you can't work, I don't remember if it was earlier tonight or this morning, if you can't worship God here, you ain't worshiping Him at home.
That's right.
Pastor, I'm just sort of a shy person. I worship at home by myself. No, you don't. If you can't worship when other people worship around you and there's a spirit of prayer, you sure ain't worshiping at home by yourself.
That's right.
Somebody walk by your bedroom, they'll think you're crazy. That we began to step out. Because there's going to come a place that it's going to take boldness to be who we need to be. There's going to come a time that there's going to be boldness because we're headed to that situation. God protected Daniel and his faithfulness. They come and they grab Daniel against the king's wishes. The king couldn't get him out of it. I want you to notice that several times they said that a decree of the king, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, could not be changed. It's important coming up here. The king couldn't even get Daniel, just ran out of it. But the king even said, God's going to take care of you. God's got this. And they put him in that den of lions, and the king went back and he fasted all night. He didn't sleep. Praying. The next morning he went and called out to Daniel. Daniel, did your God keep you safe? Daniel answered, oh yeah. Me and the lions had a great night tonight. I believe with all my heart the king didn't sleep that night, and I bet Daniel slept like a baby. I bet one of those big lions laid down. And Daniel just laid his head back. Got a little chilly in that den in the middle of the night. And Daniel, I believe, snapped his finger. A couple of the big male lions came and laid down next to him. Let the mane just cover him like a rock. They used to do little 3 or 4 minute Facebook and YouTube services. I always wanted to preach about Daniel and the lion's den, but I wanted to find somebody that had a team. And I wanted to lay down on that line. And everybody's like, you're crazy. All right. Oh, maybe a little. Maybe a little crazy. I believe Daniel slept like a baby. I'm going to tell you something. When the enemy comes in like a flood, Christ stands up and protects us in every attack and every situation. I'm going to tell you, it is never in the middle of the attack that I feel fear or doubt. It's always when I'm afraid of what's coming that I feel fear or doubt. But when the attack gets here, God wraps his arms of love around me, and he carries me, and he protects me, and he guides me through. Daniel laid there with those lions, and there was no issues. God protected him. When the king came back, he said, are you okay? And Daniel was like, yeah, I'm doing good, king. I have been searched by the angel of God and found innocent in his sight. And I have done nothing wrong to you, king. I didn't step out against you. No, I was already praying to my God. I love, you know what Daniel was saying? I love you just like I always loved you.
Come on.
Do you hear what I'm saying? saying? Sometimes we stand up, and the one that rises up against us, we go and we try to get back at them. But Daniel stood up and said, King, I know you were roped into this, and I love you just like I always did. I haven't done nothing against you. Sometimes we need to walk with love and not anger.
Yes.
The king has Daniel pulled out of the den. They searched him. Couldn't find a scratch on him. There wasn't a flea bite. There wasn't a mosquito bite. I'm going to tell you, not only did God shut up the mouths of the lions, you can't tell me those lions didn't have some fleas.
Right.
There wasn't a flea bite on them.
Well.
You can't tell me in the middle of that den there wasn't a few mosquitoes flying around. Dear Lord, I can't walk outside of now without becoming a buffet and every mosquito in town. And I'm going to tell you something, I'm a big buffet too. And there's not a mosquito bite. There's not a flea bite. There's not a place. There's not a place where the lion scratches. Anybody got a cat? You ever had a cat that you like, and a cat that likes you, it still scratches you? Because he was playing. Because he was. Man, we had a cat. Lord help us, I don't like cats. I'll be honest, I don't care for cats, but I don't like mice more than I don't like cats. So when we lived in the city of Baltimore, we had mice, and I went and got a cat. And we had that cat for a number of years. We had that cat from 2002 to after we were here. So we had at least 10 years. And probably 13 years. Or probably 11. 2003 to 2013, probably. Anyway, I still didn't like the cat. The only time I would ever pet that cat was when he'd bring me a mouse. I'd give him a treat to pet. Other than that, that cat stayed away from me because I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. We were going to make her an outside cat. We'd not be clawing her. I didn't like that either because I had to take her someplace. I had to put her in a carrier. She had claws and she would tear me up. Scratches all. We put her out to make her an outside cat. She ran away. Duh. Tell you the other day, I was up waiting on Mike to get off work at McDonald's and I looked at it and I promised you there's my cat. One of the trash cats out there at McDonald's. I promise you it's her. I almost guarantee you. Tried to get up close to her. That was stupid. Angel. I think it was her. She looked back at me and then she ran. She remembered. I didn't like her. But I'm going to tell you, Anthony loved that cat. Anthony would play with that cat. You know what she'd do once in a while? She'd scratch it. Once in a while, she'd nip at it. Never bite it, nip at it. I'm going to tell you those lines. There wasn't a scratch. There wasn't a nip. There wasn't even a scratch or a fuzzy fur. Why? Because God had his hands. And when Daniel came out, he was completely whole. And then the king said, bring the men that brought these charges against them. And bring their kids and bring their wives. And they threw them in that den, and the Bible says that the lions overpowered them and broke every bone in them before they hit the bottom of the den. I'll tell you something. If you will stand true, God will take care of you. Daniel didn't call for him to be put in that bed. Daniel didn't ask for him. The king did. If we will stand true to God, there's going to come a day when the trumpet's going to sound and the eastern sky is going to split up. And we who are alive, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain to be caught up to be with him in glory forever. And judgment will come to this world. Judgment will come to the enemy. And I've got news for you. It's not about hate. It's not about what we want to do. on God and letting God deliver us, and then God will take care of the consequences.
Come on.
Then there's one more thing I want to show you. God is glorified by our stand of righteousness.
Yes.
When we stand up in the midst of injustice, let me clarify that. I'm not talking about seeing what we've seen this week and getting up on TV and talking about how ungodly it is. I'm not talking about saying and doing things that we don't normally do. But when we walk in the same faith, in the same love, in the same compassion, in the same grace, in the middle of trial, then we do when things are going good, God will be glorified. You know what the problem is with the church? We get angry at sin, and we try to stand up and fight against sin. No, we need to stand up and glorify God. When Daniel did what he always did, can't get past that point. You ain't doing it. You can't do this in trouble. When Daniel did what he always did, God delivered him, and then God was glorified. Look at this verse. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Can you see that address to everybody? Peace is multiplied to you. Here's what the king says. I make a decree. He made a law. You know what we know about laws in that governmental system? According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, the decree of the king cannot be changed. Think about that. Darius got up and he said, let me show you a law that can't be changed. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Now hear what this decree that according to the law of the Medes and Persians cannot be changed says. For he, capital H being the God of Daniel, he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? Because Daniel did what he's always done in the midst of a society that was bound to destroy him. The king got up and made a decree that could not change, that said, God is the living God. His is the nation that will never end.
Yeah.
He is all powerful. He will stand forever and ever. He is the deliverer. He does signs and wonders. He is glorified by Daniel's consistency. He is glorified by Daniel's commitment.
Yeah.
Pastor, what is this all been about? Good preaching, but what's, well, fair preaching. But what's it all about? We live in a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not talking about the world. Where sin is rampant.
Yeah.
Hate is ruling the day.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're talking about Charlottesville, if you're talking about Ferguson, if you're talking about Baltimore, I don't care where you're talking about, it's all hate. I'm not talking about what side's right, what side's wrong. I'm talking about hate is hate, and hate is sin.
Yeah.
Politically, our nation is ripped apart. We're so divided, each side can't even take care of themselves.
Right.
I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat, ain't nobody got unity right now.
Right.
We have a society that is bound and determined to go down every road that leads us away from God. And the question comes back, what can we do about it? We keep doing what we've always done, which is be consistent in the Word of God, in the love of God, and in the commitment to God. And I've come by this church to tell you today, if you're not consistent in your relationship with God, you better get that way now, because it's not going to get any easier. Now's the time to pray. Now's the time to read. Now's the time to grow. Now's the time to reach out. Now's the time to work. Now's the time to find a way to do something for Christ. Why? Because God has prepared you for such a time as this. And you don't know how God is going to glorify His name through your consistency. God does not find glory when we glorify ourselves in times of trouble. When trouble comes and we're going to go, hey, I'm the Christian voice. That's what some of these hate mongers are yelling. But when we continue on path and we serve a living God and we pray and we seek His purpose and we worship Him and we glorify Him, He will protect us when the enemy rises up against us. And His name will be glorified by those who rise against us. Because the day will come. Well, every knee will bow.
Exactly.
And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, of those in heaven and on earth. Job is to be consistent.
Yeah.
Our job, if you're not consistent, get that way.
Yeah.
If you're not consistent, find that prayer point. Set aside that time every day to read your word. Turn off the TV for an hour. Put the phone up.
Come on.
For an hour. I said an hour. Occasionally push that plate down. We had a week of fasting coming a month or two ago, and we had the power of God. I wonder what caused that. Well, maybe it's that we were fasting and praying.
Well,
what if we became consistent? That fasting and prayer. It wouldn't be up and down, we would have consistency. And God would be protecting us and glorified by our consistency.
Come on. Yeah, come on.
My challenge to you today is very simple. If you've been worshiping, if you've been praying and reading the Bible, keep on doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you haven't been, I come with a warning tonight. You better start now, because it's not going to get any easier.
Yeah.
It's not going to get any easier. You're not going to have more time in a month.
Well,
it's not going to be easier to work into your schedule a year from now.
Come on.
I'll never forget when Pastor Bradley was with us and he was working in prison. And we were going to bring him on full time. It was so fun. Next week I'll be here. I can't wait till I'm full time. I'll have time to study and I'll have time to read. And I kept going, okay, guys. About a month and a half, about 6 weeks into it, he came into my office one day and he says, Pastor, I got a question. I said, wait, how do you find time to read the Bible and study? I go, I said, I thought once you quit work, you'd have all that. He goes, I thought so too. If you ain't doing it now, you're not going to have time later.
Come on, come on.
keep doing it. My warning is, if you're not, you better start. Because it ain't going nowhere but down. You can't fix this. You have to fix this. We can't fix our nation with community prayer. I did a community prayer 6-8 months ago after the Dallas police shootings. I did a community prayer. Great success. I think there are times it's important.
Yeah.
But it ain't gonna fix the problem.
Right.
What's gonna fix the problem is consistent Christians calling out to God.
Yeah.
And reading their word. And no matter what anybody says, going to the Lord every day, doing what we do. That's how we get the name of God. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you right now. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your peace. Lord, I thank you for giving us an opportunity. Lord, even a warning through Daniel, that we need to make sure that our life is consistently walking in your path. Lord, prepare us, guide us, and use us to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name.